Welcome back to the Afternoon Jams, brought to you by BestBlackNews.com. Big Rob, we talked about the case in North Carolina with this mob showing up at a house and demanding to go inside, looking for someone. And I know a lot of our listeners was concerned about this case, got a lot of traction on Facebook. We're fortunate to have on the phone line Attorney Jim Lee, who is representing the Shepherd family. How are you doing today, Attorney Lee?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're doing good. A very interesting case you're handling there in South Carolina.
Well, it's in North Carolina.
That's
all right. Everybody gets us mixed up all the time.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very interesting case. The Sunday night after it occurred, I got a call, or really an email from one of the neighbors that lives in that neighborhood. I actually had represented quite a few people out in that neighborhood, and they contacted me, had a very detailed email about what happened that night, and I was absolutely floored when I read that email. I said, how can this be happening in 2020 when there's essentially a lynch mob on a black family's front porch with, and I think some of the details have been left out nationally. There were three armed people. One was a jailer from New Hanover County, a county that's my county, just a county over, with his uniform on and a pistol. He had apparently, we're trying to confirm this right now, just left his job as a jailer when he got a call about a younger sister being missing, and I'll talk about that in a second. But also with him was a man that we're lucky to have identified through a neighbor who had an assault weapon on him. He was there at the front door, but there was another person behind him with a shotgun.
Wow.
He has not been arrested.
Wow.
So, and behind them was a group of about 13 people. And what's been so difficult for us as lawyers in this case is we have had the sort of, we're doing the mop-up work. We've had private investigators that we have hired go out and try to figure out who the other 12 people that were out on that front porch were that night. It's important to us because we're just amazed that that night that the Sheriff's Department in Pender County showed up because of a call from a neighbor and made no arrest and didn't identify anybody, didn't get anybody's name. And it wasn't until we were engaged on Wednesday when I got the family in and heard their entire story and fired off a letter to the district attorney and the sheriff's department in both counties on Thursday afternoon and conducted the interview that we took or had conducted on Thursday afternoon. I brought some friends in the press out there to highlight this situation because essentially all that had happened during the week that we had heard was nothing. We didn't know whether they were investigating or not. They then call a press conference the very next day at 4 o'clock announcing that they have arrested the deputy and fired him that was off duty and announced the arrest of a misdemeanor. Misdemeanor charge of going to the terror of the people with regard to the individual that had the assault weapon. No other arrest. And so I don't know whether we prompted them to actually make arrests in the case or not. I mean, we haven't determined that yet, but I'm just, it's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
That somebody's able to do that. They're investigated and nothing happens unless, you know, a firm that we're pretty well known down here, both firms. And until we step up to the plate and make some noise about it, nothing happened. And we shouldn't have to have that in the United States of America. It's just ridiculous
right. That
we have to call attention to a situation like this.
Now, based on the news report that we've seen, did someone step their foot inside the door and would not allow Ms. Shepherd to close her own door?
Absolutely. And it started with Damien, an 18-year-old young black man standing in the door. He tried to close the door and the deputy would not put his foot in the door, would not let him close it. And it demanded time and again to come in. Now, I want you to think about this, the bravery of this couple. there are a lot of people in this world that were saying, okay, you're coming in, you got guns, and you know, just been scared out of their minds and complied with the request that was being made. These two are brave enough to say no. Damien said no at first, and he got pretty upset about it, and they were being very hostile towards him, and then it woke his mother up. She's a strong person. She came up, and what's so, you know, encouraging and sad at the same time about this story is, you know, she said in her interview, she said, you know, I was thinking I'd always told my son about what it's like to be a black man in America, and then when you're out and about, you know, when you're out of your house, and this is how you need to act. You know, you need to be careful because you don't know what will happen. But I never thought in a million years that I would not be safe in my own home, in the place I live. I would never thought that he would be terrorized in his own home. So that really says a lot. She stood at the door, and she actually says that she pushed him into the back part of the room, even though he didn't want to go, and said, you know, if somebody's going to get shot, it's going to be me. And I'm going to stand here in this door and not let you come in. Damien in the background started then chanting, I'm Damien Shepherd. I'm from Laney High School. My name is on a sign in the front row. And he said it over and over and over again, as loud as he could, until they finally, which they shouldn't have the minute they walked up there because the sign was right in the front yard, they finally realized they were at the wrong house. That's courage.
Yeah, that is.
It really is.
It's courage, and it angered me as a black man in the North seeing this happen. We heard of stories in the South back in the 60s and 50s and 70s, but in the 2020, this should not be happening. The deputy, was he in uniform?
Yes.
And he was off duty.
And he should not have been. They're not even allowed, jailers are not allowed to even leave, to walk out into the public with her uniform on. They can have it on within the courthouse, because I go down there all the time. I'm in the courthouse, and there's a lot of deputies down there I have a tremendous amount of respect for, but this one went out into the public with his uniform on. You can't do that.
Wow.
I mean, he's just out in another county and another sheriff's deputy. Damien didn't know that he was from another county, or, you know, he didn't know what his rights were or weren't. He just knew he wasn't letting them in the house. That's what he knew.
Attorney Lee, are you getting a lot of community leaders who are sounding off on this?
Oh, yeah. Thankfully, and this is good for our community, the reporter, the lead reporter that I contacted that morning is a woman named Frances Weller, who is a black anchor here in WECT Channel 6. She's a good friend of mine, and I knew she'd be the perfect person to reach out to bring attention to this, and she did it. The neighborhood they lived in is predominantly white. That entire neighborhood has come out in her favor. I mean, it's come out in support of the family. And we've had a groundswell. I mean, I walk around, obviously, in a primarily white community all the time, and I get nothing but positive feedback. I'm sure that the haters out there, I'm sure the racists are out there under their rock somewhere, wherever they live.
Right.
You know, but I don't experience this because, well, number one, I don't have very often people come right up to me and, you know, try to threaten me or anything like that. But most of the feedback I've had from the white community has been fantastic. It really has.
Yeah.
And I think the Shepherds would say the same thing.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's a community that come together and said, we can't put up with this.
Now, right now, how many is, it was 13 of them, right?
15 actually 15. Is the count that we have.
15.
So we know of two. Who two are, we don't know who the other 13 are.
So how many people have been arrested?
Two.
That's unbelievable. And I know people got cameras, right? Because they not only knocked on this family house, they had knocked on somebody else's house before then, right?
Well, I don't think they went to the extent that they did with this house. I'm not sure of the other house. We're trying to find this out. Look, all these details about, you know, what we are sending out investigators to look into are things that should have been cleared up that Sunday night. You don't. I mean, I want everybody to close their eyes for a minute and reverse the situation. Imagine a black mob crowd with weapons at a white person's house in the South. Mm. And the sheriff's department drives up. What do you think would happen?
Yeah, we know. Big Rob, you can weigh in on that one. Yeah, we know. Yeah.
Yeah, we know. A whole lot of people would have been shot and dead and a few more things.
Yep, it would have been justice on the streets.
There'd been a gunfight out there, and people would have died. That's what would have happened. You know, it's just, I mean, we've got to get to a place in this country where we can where we can reverse racial situations and imagine how it would be if it was the other way around and say, all right, this is wrong. This is not right. And that's why white, black, whatever you are, that's why, you know, as a white lawyer, I'm just as offended as anybody else is about it. But I can't experience the black experience in this country. I'm not black.
Right.
I mean, right. I know the difference. I've been believing this way since I was born. I was raised by my parents in the South to never have any animus towards any other race or anything like that. That's how I was raised. And it hadn't always been easy in the South, but I know a lot of people that were raised that way like me. But at the same time, to see the resurgence or the, as I say, coming out of the rocks of white supremacists in this country, it just sickens me every night when I watch it. I just go, we got to do something about it. So we're going to do something about it in this case. One thing I will say is there's a federal act. This is sort of amazing. This is a little bit of history. There is a federal act. It's called 48 U.S. Code 1983, and there's a section 1985. That was a federal act. Now, I want y'all to think about this. It was enacted in 1873.
Oh, wow.
It's called the Ku Klux Klan Act. It was enacted so that black families or people that were being attacked at that time would have a civil remedy and damages against their attackers. That law, and it's been changed over the years, it's still on the books. That's the statute, one of the statutes we're going to operate under in 2020. In 2020.
Wow. I didn't know that law existed.
Come on.
Wow.
Have we not made any more progress than that? We've got to operate under an 18th act that originated in 1873 in response to lynching.
Right after slavery. Wow, man. That's crazy.
Wow.
What about the NAACP? Is the local branch there very active?
Yeah, they're very active. Dr. Reverend Murphy is a good friend of mine. He has contacted them. He knows that they are going to make a statement. Everybody's laying back a little bit right now while we do our investigation, because we have investigators out in the neighborhood. We're gathering up all the information we have to gather up. We've had a lot of support from civil rights groups and civil rights lawyers that specialize in it. We know a lot about. We're just good lawyers. We're good trial lawyers. You can look us up. We're A-rated, best lawyers in America, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But we don't always have these kind of situations we're involved in. So if we need to bring in somebody that specializes in civil rights, we'll do that.
Right.
Simply because I want what's best for this family. I don't need, you know, I'm fine. I'll go out on a national platform about this if I need to, and I'll do it. But if I need to bring somebody that actually, and I we'll figure it out. We're good trial lawyers. We'll be able to represent them, but I may bring in co-counsel to have a more national platform for this so that the Shepherds have every resource that they need.
Yeah.
This isn't about us grabbing PR and,
right.
You know, right. It's just not about that. It's about them.
There's definitely some good ones out there, and I know you're good, and I've seen your track record. You're definitely good.
Yeah.
The Ben Crumps of the world, the Lee Merritts of the world, they're fighting every day on this cause. But we appreciate you. I got to say this from someone from outside looking in who have taken upon yourself to help this family out, to get investigators on the ground, something the police department should have been doing, but you're doing it, and building a federal case, that would be a civil case against him?
Yes, it would. It'd be against the sheriff's department from both counties, and that's tough because they've got governmental immunity. But this act can bypass that, help bypass that, and if they purchase insurance, they waive their immunity. We are leading the charge in a our two firms in a large lawsuit down here involving, I hate to say this, but involves sexual abuse in the school system by teachers against children that went on for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
We've got two massive lawsuits involving that down here that we're dealing with. So we're very familiar with these laws now. And we're charging that lawsuit. All you have to do is look up New Hanover County sexual abuse cases, and you'll see our sexual abuse cases we're bringing down here. This is predominantly a great community. You know, it really is. But there's things that need to be addressed and cleaned up, and that's what we're doing as local attorneys. We're, you know, nobody came in from outside. You know, we live here. This is our home. We're willing to stand up in our home and say we need to clean our house up.
Wow.
We're willing to do that.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much, Attorney.
We'll see what happens.
Attorney Jim Lee, what can we do on a national platform? People who are listening in multiple states, what should we do to help this case out?
Well, just keep talking about it. You'll read about it, I'm sure. I appreciate that everybody's had so much concern when we filed a civil lawsuit. That'll be something to follow. We're probably going to set up a website very similar to the one that we did in the sex abuse cases. You can go there and just take a look at our work and who we are. And we'll probably set that up, people to be able to follow it. At the time, we do press releases when we do these lawsuits so that people can be aware that this is going on. I got to say, I had a choice at the beginning of this. We could have, I'm pretty sure that people around us would have done the right thing anyway, but had to be sure because we fought against the county with these sex abuse cases for a long time, and there were people that were just not being forthcoming. And I thought to myself during that week, do I just sort of do it in the good old boy way, you know, call up and say, hey, this is really bad. You ought to go out and take a look at this. And I thought, nah, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to go out there and just blast this out. The family wanted me to do that. I'll take a chance. I'm going to blast this out, see if it gets some attention so that it can bring attention nationwide to something that should never ever happen. And so I don't regret, I don't apologize for doing it this way. I think we did the right thing. And so just everybody pay attention to what's going on here. We'll see how it comes out from the civil side. We'll see how it comes out from the criminal side. We don't have anything to do with the criminal side, but just send us your thoughts and prayers, and we're going to do our job. I promise you that.
That's good. Well, I hope they arrest every one of them. So get that civil thing going on what you're doing. But I definitely hope they arrest everyone that participated in with this mob at 10 o'clock at night, show up at somebody's house wanting to go inside, had guns,
right,
refused to allow the boy and the mom to close their own door, demanding that they're going to step inside. And then turn around to find out they was at their own house anyway. The person they was looking for doesn't live there. Even if they did live there, it's not their job to do that.
Exactly.
I know we got to wrap this up, but I'll tell you one more aspect.
Sure.
They left after they realized they were at the wrong house. The sheriff's department, the neighborhood called the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department comes back to the house. I want you to think about this. Guess who rides right up behind the sheriff's department? The whole same group.
Wow.
They just committed a crime to drive away. Sheriff's department comes up. They follow them back to the scene of the crime, and there's still no arrest. That's just, it was almost like, okay, we can just drive right back to where we almost, you know, could have gotten somebody killed, and we're driving back and following the sheriff's department as if they were protected by them.
Exactly.
In some way.
Yeah. Yeah. Endorsed. That's supported. Sponsored that event. Man, thank you so much, Attorney. Attorney Jim Lee. Keep up the good fight down there, man. Keep up the good fight, please.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. Take care. Take care.
Y'all stay safe.
Yes, sir. You too.
Yeah.
Wow. Attorney Jim Lee on the third down in North Carolina. Family, follow this story.
Yeah, please.
Irks me, Rob. Makes you like you think about the 60s and 70s and 50s. This should not be happening in 2020. When I saw this story a couple weeks ago, Rob, I just knew this, like, this is an old story, man.
No.
I thought it was like one of the old stories somebody don't just, you know, post it again, you know. Nah, that shouldn't be happening, man. That's why I believe we need to be armed. Say it, it's me, my opinion, that we need to be armed legally. Legally, fellas. Do it the right way. But we cannot continue to go down this path of not being prepared to protect our family and our community. All right.
And I agree with you, PA. We all need to be armed. But I'm sure this deputy that they fired and arrested knows who was all in that group. Oh, yeah. Now, if he was a true officer of the law,
yeah,
he would tell each and every person that was there.
He's not, though. He's not honorable. He's not honorable. You know what I mean? He's doing what people who have no morals do, man. That's who he is. All right, family. Going back to my music, it's Afternoon Jams, brought to you by BestBlackNews.com.